Welcome to Fresh Bread with Raymond McCulloch. Raymond is the former editor of Irish Christian magazine Bread and, with his wife Jerry, directs Kingdom Come Trust based in Northern Ireland. He has pastored and led worship for several years in Belfast and is currently involved in music and media production.
Hi, I'm Raymond McCulloch. Welcome back to the sixth episode of our series, Fresh Bread, Your Kingdom Come, based on my recently published book, The Whore Under Muller, 9/11, Babylon, and the Return of the King. If you've missed the previous shows, don't worry. You can still play or download the podcast of previous shows from our website, kingdomcome.org.uk, or you can read the first few chapters of the book for free there, and you can download the relevant prophetic passages for your own study. You'll also find more information about the music and the content of each show, and you can read all the encouraging emails we receive about this and our previous shows. Here's one of them. Going, going, gone. It's going to be that fast when the Lord returns and takes us away with him. I just know it is. I'm looking forward to that day when we are with him and away from all of this. If I could speed it up, I would, but it is all in his hands. Connie Brandt, USA. And the good news is we can speed it up. We'll be covering that in a later broadcast. If you want to contact us, our email address is simply raymond@kingdomcome.org.uk, or just use the form on our website, kingdomcome.org.uk. In previous weeks, we've covered the preface, introduction, and chapters 1 to 3 of the book. Last week, we discussed the final part of chapter 3. So, where is this megacity, Babylon? 1. The fact that none of the other possible contenders for Mega Babylon has any kind of seaport leaves the major port of New York City as the most likely candidate. 2. New York City has had not only one, but 3 major stock exchanges, dealing in all of the commodities listed in the Revelation, and specifically is a major city trading in both gold and diamonds. 3. New York City is by far the world's most important port in terms of immigration, or bodies and souls of men, as the Revelation puts it. 4. The United States of America is the world's strongest economy, importing 43% of the world's resources each year, though with only 6% of the world's population. 5. The United States of America is the only world superpower today, dominating every other nation in the world by its military and economic might. 6. The population of the United States of America have, by and large, an extremely arrogant and self-centered approach to the rest of the world. 7. New York City has, outside of Israel itself, and only then if we include Greater Tel Aviv, the largest Jewish population of any city in the world. 8. The world's only inhabited town of Babylon, founded by immigrant Jews, is situated on Long Island in the middle of New York City. 9. The headquarters of the United Nations is also based on Long Island, another reason why New York City is where the nations stream. 10. The United States of America regards itself as the world's policeman, regularly interfering in the affairs of other nations to the extent even of invading them, and can be accurately described as the hammer of the whole earth. 11. The United States is the only nation that could be described as both a daughter nation and an empire, the United Kingdom being the mother nation. Before we continue with chapter 4, why trust these Hebrew prophets? Let's have some music. This is the Low Country Boys from the Ards Peninsula in County Down, and a tune called Oot Te Grass. Thank you. Chapter 4, Why Trust These Hebrew Prophets? There are 6 million Jews currently living in the USA, and perhaps another 4 million among other nations, with 5 million now living in Israel, perhaps 15 million in total. But many of these do not believe that their Torah and Tanakh should be taken literally. The same is true of many Americans and other Western nationalities who profess a Christian faith, but have never really read, never mind believe or understand, the Old Testament or New Testament prophets. These books, known as Taurat, Zabur and Injil in Arabic, are also regarded as holy books by those of the Islamic world, but most Muslims have never read them. So I should be trusting these words, written down many hundreds, even thousands of years ago? Before we can answer that, we need to take a closer look at some of the events they did foretell. As we said earlier, most of the Hebrew prophecies concern the people of Israel. Right back in the time of Moses, the God of Israel promised that if they would be obedient, he would bless them and establish them upon the land which he gave them, Eretz Israel, or the land of Israel. However, if they were disobedient, he promised to give their enemies power over them, and eventually that he would scatter them to the four corners of the earth. Yet even so, he also promised that one day he would gather them from the ends of the earth and restore them once again to their own land. Isaiah 43, 3-12. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Verse 9. All the nations gather together. Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, neither will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Saviour. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I, and not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. This passage from Isaiah declares that the existence, preservation, and ingathering of the people of Israel is all for one ultimate purpose, to declare that I am God, and beside me there is no Saviour. The people of Israel are a sign and a witness to all the nations, tribes, and peoples of the earth that the God of Israel is the only God, and that his word is true. If the children of Israel survive until the end of the age, which against all odds they have done so far, if they are restored once again to the very land that he promised to them, taking place before our eyes since 1948, and if he actually gathers the people of Israel back again from the four corners of the earth, will this not be the greatest miracle the world has ever seen? From the book of Deuteronomy in the Torah of Moses, to the prophecies of Yeshua, Jesus, and John in the New Testament, these things have been foretold by the Hebrew prophets. If we examine their prophecies and can see the fulfillment of their words taking place here and now, then we will have a solid foundation for taking heed of their other prophecies about the end times and the things that have yet to take place in the world. Yeshua, Jesus, thought by many, especially Christians, to be the greatest of the Hebrew prophets, said in Matthew 24:32-35, Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation, or race, will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The word translated here as generation is the Greek word genia, which can also be read as genealogy or race. In other words, Yeshua is saying, this Jewish race will not disappear until all these things are fulfilled. There have been many serious attempts down through history to eliminate the Jews. We can think of the Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition, pogroms in Russia and Poland, the Nazi Holocaust or Shoah, and the current Arab-Islamic campaign against Israel. But the Jewish race is still here. Yeshua promises that they will continue to be right here until all these things are fulfilled. After the death of King Solomon, the people of Israel became divided into two separate kingdoms. The northern kingdom, Israel, consisting of 10 of the tribes, plus some of the Levites, and the southern kingdom, Judah, consisting of the other two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and those of the Levites who remained faithful and served in the temple in Jerusalem. That may sound like 9.5 tribes were in the northern kingdom, but the tribe of Joseph was given a double portion, and so the descendants of Joseph's two sons, the half-tribes Ephraim and Manasseh, were treated equally with the other tribes and given a full portion of the land. So in fact, there were 10.5 tribes in the northern kingdom of Israel and 2.5 tribes in the southern kingdom of Judah. And yes, that does make 13 tribes. In spite of many warnings from the prophets, the northern kingdom of Israel became more and more disobedient to the commands of their God, taking on the heathen practices of the nations around them, such as worship of Baal, Ashtaroth, and Molech, which included sun worship and child sacrifice. Judah also was often disobedient, but unlike the northern kingdom, they had a certain number of righteous kings who periodically restored the nation to the Lord and destroyed Baal worship. The prophets repeatedly spoke of the need for justice to remove oppression and exploitation from the land, otherwise they would be removed from it. Eventually, as he had promised, the Lord allowed the northern kingdom to be taken captive by the king of Assyria, the superpower that preceded Babylonian rule. The 10 tribes were taken from their land to Assyria, the land ethnically cleansed, and other people groups from Mesopotamia transported back to Israel to replace those 10 tribes. The replacement peoples became known as the Samaritans because they lived in the region known as Samaria. The kingdom of Judah, the Jews, continued to exist as a nation, but eventually their disobedience also grew to such an extent that the Lord allowed them too to be carried off, this time to Babylon, though only for 70 years. At the end of this period, as prophesied by Jeremiah, Cyrus, the new king of Persia, allowed around 50,000 Jews to return and rebuild their city and temple in Jerusalem. From this period on, they were known as the Jews, as opposed to Israel, because the connection with the other 10 tribes had by now been completely severed. Eventually, after hundreds of years, the majority of the Jews who had remained in Babylon were scattered further and further away, but they retained their separate Jewish identity, as they had done all along in captivity. In fact, the long years in Babylon tended to reinforce their identity as Jews. The 10 tribes, who had strayed much further from the commandments of the God of Israel and were taken captive much earlier, had also become scattered further and further along the ancient trade routes. They too kept their separate identity as sons of Israel, although not as distinct as the Jews, because of the longer period of exile, the greater degree of their rebellion and apostasy, and their earlier scattering.
Lightning, what is happening? The world come falling down. And when I get that feeling, I said, when I get that feeling, I hide away in a secret place where nobody can ever find me. And I don't know about the things you love in this world, brother. I am telling you that they're all going down. And I don't know about the things you love in this world, sister. I am telling you that they're all gonna drown. When you live for the treasure that never ever fades, you wanna tell everybody every day. When you live for heaven and heaven lives within, you wanna tell everybody. You wanna tell everybody. Dreaming, what am I seeing? The world come falling down. No more delight. The world come falling down. And I don't know about the things you love in this world, brother. I am telling you that they're all going down. And I don't know about the things you love in this world, sister. I am telling you that they're all gonna drown. But when you live for the treasure that never ever fades, you wanna tell everybody every day. When you live for heaven and heaven lives within, you wanna tell everybody. You wanna tell everybody. as I'm told.
That was Holy Love from a duo called One Week of Days from Kilkenny in Ireland. To the outside world, these Sons of Israel ceased to exist as a separate entity and they became the Lost Tribes of Israel. Yet amongst themselves, they retained the knowledge of their ancestry, even though they'd lost many of their practices. Their captivity had taken place in stages and they were transported to different areas within the Assyrian Empire, so these separate groups lost contact with one another. In one region would have been people from several different northern tribes, and in another may have been other members of these same or different tribes. Each of these groups held on to some of their former practices, though not always the same ones. As the centuries went by, these groups took on their own identities and travelled further and further apart, yet often retained a memory still of their separate tribal origins. So for 2,700 years we have had this scattering of both Jews and the other 10 tribes to the four corners of the earth. Yet the same God who scattered them had also promised that one day he would gather them back again. Isaiah 11:12. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Where Judah and the Jews were concerned, this regathering began with the birth of the Zionist movement in the 1880s, coinciding with pogroms, where many Jews from Russia and Poland made their way, usually on foot, to the then Turkish province of southern Syria. Under the later British mandate from 1917, this province was deliberately renamed Palestine after the extinct ancient enemies of Israel, the Philistines, Palestine in Arabic. In return for Jewish help during the First World War, the British had promised, in the Balfour Declaration of 1917, a Jewish homeland in Israel. They later also promised the major part of this land to an Arabian emir, Abdullah, and they then gave away 78% of what they referred to as Palestine to become the Kingdom of Transjordan, illegally and without any United Nations mandate. Hence it is scathingly referred to by Israelis as the Twice Promised Land. Jewish and also Arab emigration increased, and in 1948 the State of Israel came into being. By the way, the remaining 22% of the former British mandate consists of Israel proper, the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. When so-called moderate Palestinians refer to the occupied territories, they are often referring to the 22%, thereby claiming all of the land west of the Jordan, including Israel itself. Due to instant declaration of war by the surrounding Arab states, following Israel's proclamation of statehood in 1948, and her subsequent and very unexpected victory in what became known as Israel's War of Independence, around 850,000 Jews were in turn expelled from the Arab countries of the Middle East and North Africa. See theforgottenrefugees.com for info. Unlike the unfortunate 550,000 Arab refugees who were encouraged to flee Israel and then rejected by their fellow Arabs, these Jewish refugees were, with great hardship, assimilated into the fledgling new state within a few years, and many others joined them from around the world. The ingathering, back from the four corners of the earth, had begun. All of these immigrants were Jews, i.e. from the tribes of Judah, Benjamin and Levi. But in 1949, a strange event occurred. The British forces in Aden were suddenly faced with an Old Testament-style exodus of Jewish people travelling on foot from the interior of Yemen. A people who had lived there from the time of Solomon now wanted to join with the new state of Israel. June 1949 saw the beginning of Operation Magic Carpet, a 16-month airlift of around 50,000 Yemenite Jews who had been cut off from the rest of the Jewish world for about 3,000 years. These were the first not strictly Jewish Israelites and the forerunners of the Beta Israel, also known derogatorily as the Falasha, another group of 85,000 children of Israel living in Ethiopia. These so-called black Jews were transported to Israel from Addis Ababa and the deserts of Sudan in 1985. The basis for their acceptance under Israel's law of return was a decision by the chief Sephardic rabbi, Ovadia Yosef, that these people were from the lost tribe of Dan. Another 26,000 Beta Israel, the so-called Falash Mura, a derogatory title for Ethiopian Jews by race, who had been forcibly converted in past centuries to Coptic Orthodox Christianity, were left behind, but are now also slowly being brought to Israel. This is not the end of the story by any means, but we will deal with the so-called lost tribes in more detail in the next chapter. The Hebrew prophets, time and time again, have foretold that the Jews would be restored to their land and that the land would begin to prosper when they returned to it. The land of Palestine was a fairly desolate place in 1880-1890, before the first Zionist Jews began to return from Russia and Poland. The Jews already living there previous to this were concentrated in the holy towns of Jerusalem, Hebron, Safed, and Tiberias, and their lives focused mainly on study of Talmud and Torah, living mostly off the charity of the worldwide Jewish community. The land was not empty, but the population was quite small, with most local Arabs living as serfs, paying much of their hard-earned crops and produce to a Turkish effendi who'd arrive once a year to be honoured and paid. Isaiah 6:11-13. Then I said, "For how long, Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away, and the land is utterly forsaken, and though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." But from the late 19th century on, as more and more Zionist Jews arrived with a vision to live off the land, the Turks sold them the worst of the land, stony ground and malarial swamps, expecting these weak Jews to give up because of the hardships. Many of them did die through disease and Bedouin raids, but more and more arrived. Land was cleared, swamps drained, trees and crops planted, kibbutzim and moshavim established, and a Jewish defence force established to protect the new immigrants. The desert had indeed begun to blossom like a rose, as Isaiah had foretold. Isaiah 35:1-2. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendour of Carmel and Sharon, and they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendour of our God.
That I'm not alone.
was Moya Brennan from County Dublin, and a song called Perfect Time. So, why should we trust these Hebrew prophets? Firstly, the Tanakh, or Torah, the Old Testament, is regarded as holy by Jews, Christians and Muslims, the New Testament by Christians, and the Gospels or Injil by Muslims. Yet how many have read the prophecies contained in them? Second, as far back as Genesis and Deuteronomy, God promised to scatter the Israelites if they continued in rebellion and disobedience to the four corners of the earth. 3. Yeshua, Jesus, prophesied that this Jewish race would not disappear until all was fulfilled. Despite many attempts to wipe them out, they are still here. And 4. God also promised to bring the Israelites back to their own land, and the Jews are now established again in their own state of Israel today. Since 1967, they have also controlled the whole city of Jerusalem, including the Temple Mount. So much for the Jews, only 2.5 tribes out of 12. But what about the rest of the Israelites? In the next chapter, we'll continue by looking at the promised return of the so-called lost tribes of Israel. Join us again next week for chapter 5, the second Exodus. Slán agus Banagia. Bye, and God bless.
This series is produced by Precious Oil Productions for Kingdom Come Trust. For more information about the series, Bible notes and recordings of previous talks, check out our website at www.kingdomcome.org.uk or write to PO Box 200, Belfast, Northern Ireland, BT 23 7TZ.